ดี
Jay Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jay Radha Madhava Kunja BihariJay Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana RanjanaYamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja BihariJay Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtodhara SriHis Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya. Ashrota Sarasri, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nithai Gaura Premanande.All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva NarottamamDevim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha.Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text Number 34
Pitaryuparate Pandau
సర్వాన్నసుహృదశిశూన్ అరక్షతాం వ్యసనత పితృవ్యౌత్వగతావితః పితర్యుపరతే పాండౌ సర్వాన్నసుహృదశిశూన్ అరక్షతాం వ్యసనత పితృవ్యౌత్వగతావితః పితర్యుపరతే పాండౌ సర్వాన్నసుహృదశిశూన్ అరక్షతాం వ్యసనత పితృవ్యౌత్వగతావితః పితర్యుపరతే పాండౌ సర్వాన్నసుహృదశిశూన్ రక్షతాం వ్యసనత పితృవ్యౌత్వగతావితః రక్షతాం వ్యసనత మాతాజీ వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పితరి అపాన్ మై ఫాదర్ ఉపరతే ఫాలింగ్ డౌన్ పాండవ్ మహారాజ్ పాండు సర్వాన్ ఆల్ నహ ఆఫస్ సుహృదః వెల్ విషర్స్ శిశూన్ స్మాల్ చిల్డ్రన్ అరక్షతాం ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ వ్యసనతః ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ డేంజర్స్ పితృవ్యౌ uncles kva where gatau have departed itah from this place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: when my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have they gone from here? Text 35. Suta uvacha kripaya sneha vaiklavyat suta viraha karshita karshitah atmeshwaram అచక్షాణో నప్రత్యాహాతి పీడితః. సూత గోస్వామి సెడ్, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ కంపాషన్ అండ్ మెంటల్ అజిటేషన్, సంజయ, నాట్ హ్యావింగ్ సీన్ హిస్ ఓన్ మాస్టర్ ధృతరాష్ట్ర, వాస్ అగ్రీవ్డ్ అండ్ కుడ్ నాట్ ప్రాపర్లీ రిప్లై టు మహారాజ్ యుధిష్ఠిర్. పర్పోర్ట్: Sanjaya was the personal assistant of Maharaj Dhritarashtra for a very long time, and thus he had the opportunity to study the life of Dhritarashtra. And when he saw at last that Dhritarashtra had left home without his knowledge, his sorrows had no bound. He was fully compassionate toward Dhritarashtra, because in the game of the battle of Kurukshetra, King Dhritarashtra had lost everything, men and money, and at last the king and the queen had to leave home in utter frustration. he studied the situation in his own way because he did not know that the inner vision of Dhritarashtra has been awakened by Vidura, and that therefore he had left home in enthusiastic cheerfulness for a better life after departure from the dark well of home. Unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of the home. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavranda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the 13th chapter, first canto. Dhritarashtra and Dhritarashtra has been inspired by Vidura to go to the forest, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is unable to find Dhritarashtra and Gandhari in the palace, and he is searching for them, and then he is asking Sanjaya, and Sanjaya also is thoroughly surprised because Sanjaya was always with Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra had taken this decision without informing Sanjaya, and Sanjaya is completely pained with the separation of Dhritarashtra, and then he couldn't even reply to the questions of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So that is the verse we are reading today. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, we can see Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that actually these two uncles, Dhritarashtra and Vidura, they protected us when we lost our father. Although Dhritarashtra, he was actually part of the plans made by Duryodhan to kill the Pandavas, but Yudhishthira Maharaj, being Ajata Shatru, being a very elevated Vaishnava, that he is not actually remembering all those plans made by Duryodhan, which were supported by Dhritarashtra. But he is not remembering all of them. He is actually thinking that both of these uncles, Vidura and Dhritarashtra, they protected us when we lost our father Pandu from so many dangers. And where have they gone now? And Sanjaya is unable to reply. So Prabhupada is writing very profound points in the purport. He says that unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of the home. Because Sanjaya is not aware that Dhritarashtra's inner vision has been awakened by Vidura's words of wisdom. And being awakened, being his inner wisdom awakened by those transcendental knowledge, Dhritarashtra left home. So Prabhupada is emphasizing the importance of transcendental knowledge in order to actually take to the path of renunciation. So there is a beautiful shloka, like a subhashitam, which tells about the facts of life. There are five things in our life which have to be done slowly. Shanai Panta, Shanai Kanta. Shanai Panta, Shanai Kanta. Shanai Parvata Mastake, Shanair Vidya, Shanair Vittam, Panchaitani Shanai Shanaihi. When you go on a long path, you have to walk slowly. And when you are actually climbing a mountain, one should also walk slowly and gradually. And when a person wants to increase one's wealth, one should gradually tries to increase one's wealth. And when a person wants to accumulate knowledge, one should do so gradually by studying one subject, thoroughly mastering it, and then going to the next subject, and then going to the next subject. And then Shanai Kanta means, Kanta refers to the dress of a renunciant. So Shanai Kanta means even the spirit of renunciation should also be cultivated gradually. So especially if you find in the modern times, like some of these principles are not followed, like people want to quickly increase their wealth. There are many books like How to Become a Millionaire or a Billionaire in a Short Time. And when it comes to accumulating knowledge, the whole education is like a an industry where people, there are so many crash courses available. How you can study in 3 days, 5 days, or mug up for 15 days before the exam. And it's all about how to put the least effort and get a degree in the quickest time. One is not interested in the actual subject of the knowledge, any field you may take. So people don't want to go through that struggle and the effort involved in the education. And even in the path of renunciation, we may find many, even the spiritual organizations are a different thing, where people want to give a spirit of renunciation and make a person renunciant fast. But actually, the path of renunciation, the spirit of renunciation should be cultivated gradually. Shanai Kanta. Just like any fruit actually, the ripening of a fruit is a gradual process. You sow the seed and then you keep watering the seed, protect the growth of that particular plant. And then in due course of time, when the tree grows and then the fruit comes and then the fruit is also gradually ripened by the time factor and with the conducive environment. But modern times where people have come up with different chemicals where they want to ripen the, they want to hasten the process of ripening. So when that natural process is actually not followed, when people want to hasten that process, then those fruits are actually filled with chemicals, and one may get those fruits even before the season, ripened fruits before the season, but it will be harmful for that person. And because of this artificial ripening of the fruits, even that land in which that tree is growing, because people would put lot of chemicals to actually quickly make that tree to give ripe fruits. So even the land will get spoiled. The environment will get spoiled. So similarly, that when somebody is made a renunciant by that hastening that ripening process. It will be harmful for that person, and it will be harmful for the society in which that person is interacting also. So therefore, this process of renunciation is also a gradual process, where a person goes through the different stages of life. So one of the things which is emphasized is that in the process of renunciation, in order to sustainably practice the path of renunciation, one has to cultivate transcendental knowledge. In fact, this point was emphasized by Daksha Prajapati when Narada Muni inspired his sons, Hariyashwas and Savalashwas, to take to the path of renunciation and dedicate their life in the path of Bhagavata Dharma. Daksha Prajapati told Narada Muni, Netam Pumsam Viragasyat Tvaya Kevalina Mrusha Manyase Yadi Upashamam Sneha Pasha Nikruntanam. He said that if you think that simply awakening the sense of renunciation will detach a person from the material world, I must say that unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing the dress as you have done cannot possibly bring detachment. He's telling Narada Muni that you are simply given us some kind of inspirational, like a pep talk, and then made them renounced. But actually, unless a person is awakened in the transcendental knowledge, one cannot actually sustain that path of renunciation simply by changing the dress. And Prabhupada says that Prajapati Daksha was right in pointing out this defect, but then he did not know that Narada Muni had aroused the spirit of renunciation in his sons. So therefore, enlightened renunciation is desirable. One should enter the renounced order of life with full knowledge, because the perfection of life is possible for one who renounces the material world in that way. So here, Daksha Prajapati is thinking that, like, you, Narada Muni has bewildered his sons and then somehow inspired him to become renounced. And he is thinking that whatever spirit of renunciation you have given to them, and they will remain in that spirit for 7 or 8 days. And they will not be able to sustain this path. So Prabhupada also, sometimes when he has written letters to his disciples, he emphasizes this important principle of getting transcendental knowledge. So one letter Prabhupada writes to Bhargava Prabhu. So he says that the more we become renounced from this material world, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. But we are only able to make such sacrifices and perform tapasya if we have got knowledge. So the first thing is to become knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness. Then the tapasya or voluntarily life of austerity will result automatically. So therefore, I am requesting all of my students to read my books very seriously every day without fail. In this way, if your mind becomes absorbed at least for 1 or 2 years, 1 or 2 hours daily in the transcendental subject matter of Gita and the Bhagavatam, then we will very easily make your advancement in Krishna consciousness. That is why in another purport, Prabhupada says that brahmacharis, brahmanas and sannyasis, they are inspired by the Shastra, and Kshatriyas and Grihasthas, they need the inspiration of the opposite sex, like that Prabhupada says in one purport. So therefore, the point which is being emphasized here is that in order to lead a sustainable life of renunciation, one should have transcendental knowledge, one should be regularly in touch with the transcendental knowledge. That is what Prabhupada is emphasizing. Otherwise, there are three types of temporary renunciation. One is called as Smashana Vairagya, where a person gets the spirit of renunciation in the Smashan Bhumi. Or Abhava Vairagya, when somebody is unable to achieve something in his life, so at that time he may develop some temporary spirit of renunciation. But once, when the time changes, when he is able to achieve that, so at that time the spirit of renunciation will vanish. And Prasava Vairagya, that means like when a person is going through certain great difficulty in his life, or great suffering in his life, after enjoying certain sense gratification, so at that time a person may feel a certain spirit of detachment when he is going through the difficulty. But once the difficulty period is over, but again, because the spirit of there is no deep transcendental knowledge in his heart, so therefore again he may feel an attraction towards the same sense gratification. So, if you see in the case of Dhritarashtra, he had access to the knowledge. There is a verse in the first chapter of the Mahabharata Adi Parva, where Dhritarashtra tells Vidura and Sanjaya, "I am actually called as Prajna Chakshu." Dhritarashtra, previously itself, he had access to knowledge. If you imagine, what was the facility Dhritarashtra had? Dhritarashtra had a personal advisor in the form of Veda Vyasa, who is the compiler of the entire gamut of the Vedic literatures. When we have to look for some verse, we search in the folio or some Google. But Dhritarashtra had direct access to Veda Vyasa actually. And he had access to Veda Vyasa's disciple Sanjaya. And he had access to Vidura. Vidura is the incarnation of Yamaraj. So Dhritarashtra definitely had the eyesight for insight. He had Prajna Chakshu. Even before this, present chapter we are reading, throughout his life he had access to the Vedic knowledge. But then he never implemented that knowledge. There was a gap between the his Prajna Chakshu and his action. So the gap between that knowledge and that implementation of that action is that his attachment, or he always hoped that probably he can continue to be the king, or probably his sons can become the king, or his sons will win the war. He always had hope for, he always hoped for his own self-victory. So, because of this gap between that Prajna Chakshu and that action, that gap was created by that attachment or the hope for the self-victory. Just like in Bhakti Rasamrita, Rupa Goswami talks about Asha Bandha, hope against hope. A devotee feels hopeless seeing his own disqualification. How fallen he is. By seeing that, he feels hopeless in his progress of bhakti. But at the same time, when he remembers the quality of Krishna, how Krishna is merciful even to the most fallen people, a devotee gets a hope. So this hope against hope is a symptom of an advanced devotee. But a similar quality was exhibited by Dhritarashtra. The people were always advising him that you are not destined to be the king. But then, although he was advised like that, but he always hoped because that probably his sons can continue to become the king. Probably they will win. So because of his material attachment, he actually, he hoped against that hope. So Dhritarashtra's mentality is that he was always centered around me and mine. So in this world, even a small child has this sense of being attached to its own toys. This small child has an attachment to me and mine. But the child's attachment is innocent. It does not affect other people. Probably it may just affect other children playing, but it does not affect the others in a very serious way. Or we see elevated devotees, they also have the attachment of me and mine. Like Janaka Maharaj, he says that, Mama Suta Dharmacharini Tava. My daughter will be your Dharmacharini, will be your Dharmapatni. So here, Janak Maharaj is having an attachment towards his daughter, but his daughter is Lakshmi Devi herself. When you have attachment towards such personalities, that is the perfection of one's life actually. Yashoda had, when she saw that whole universe in the mouth of Krishna, for a moment, Yashoda thought that, I am thinking myself to be the queen of Vrindavan. I am leading a very illusory life. For a moment, she actually came in the mood of awe and reverence towards Krishna. But immediately in the next moment, the Vatsalya Bhava completely overwhelmed her, and she started thinking that, if I keep thinking like that, who will feed milk to my child Krishna? So she was completely overcome by the motherly affection, and she forgot that entire scene, and then with increased motherly affection, she started actually exhibiting affection towards Krishna, feeding milk to Krishna. So this kind of me and mine, that is the perfection of one's life. That is what we aspire for. But Dhritarashtra's me and mine, it was so small and insignificant. And his me and mine was not allowing others to exist. So it was actually affecting others also. So that is the Dhritarashtra mentality. And another point about Dhritarashtra is that Dhritarashtra was always trying to put his Purusharatha in the wrong direction. So Purusharatha is the human endeavor and the Daiva is the destiny. So one is supposed to put one's endeavor, coming from one's psychophysical nature, in the right direction. It should be in the direction of the Daiva. It should be in the direction of the destiny. But when a person puts one's Purusharatha against one's destiny, then one will actually complicate one's life in a very bad way. So Dhritarashtra was never destined to become the king. His sons were never destined to become the kings. And it was, the destiny was being told by so many people. because he himself was born blind, it should be obvious to him that he can never become the king. But he never accepted that destiny. He tried to put the Purusharatha against the destiny. So that was the mistake of Dhritarashtra. So once when Vidura was advising Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra asked that, which is more important, Purusharatha or Daiva? So Vidura said that Daiva is more important than Purusharatha. The destiny is more important than Purusharatha. And the same question was asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishma Dev, which is more important, Purusharatha or Daiva? But Bhishma Dev said that Purusharatha is more important than Daiva. We can see both are actually great Mahajans, but they are giving the different answers, but depending on the candidates. Because in the case of Dhritarashtra, he was trying to put his Purusharatha against the destiny. So therefore, Vidura told that, in your case, Daiva is more important than Purusharatha. Accept your Daiva and don't put your Purusharatha in this direction. But in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was reluctant to put his Purusharatha. He is supposed to become the king, but after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was reluctant to put his Purusharatha and take up the responsibility of being the king. So therefore, Bhishma Dev emphasized that Purusharatha is more important than Daiva. So we see there are verses in the scriptures which talk about the importance of, say, Purusharatha and Daiva. Ayam amrita nidanam nayako api aushadinam. So the moon is the reservoir of the storehouse of amrita, nectar. Nayako api aushadinam. The moon only actually nourishes the different herbs. By its moon rays, moon is actually nourishing the different herbs. It is the leader of all the herbs. Shata Bishaga Anuyata. And the so many thousands of hundreds of physicians, they consider the moon as the leader. They are followers of the Chandra. Shambhu Murnova Tamsaha. And the moon is also decorating the head of Lord Shiva. But Virahayati Na Chainam Raja Yakshma Shashankam. But the moon is not free from Kshara Yoga. Raja Yakshma is a disease where the moon has to go through this waxing and waning period. Although the moon is the leader of hundreds of physicians, moon only nourishes the herbs and is the storehouse of the nectar, but the moon actually cannot stop its own actually Kshara Yoga. Hata Vidhi Paripaka Kenava Langaniya. So therefore, nobody can escape the Daiva, one's own destiny. There's another verse says that Bhagnashasya Karanda Pindita Tanum Mlanor Indriyasya Kshuda. So there was a snake, it is like a completely exhausted, it is confined within a closed box, no way to escape from that closed box. And it is completely exhausted and tired, and the snake is very thin and lean. It had not eaten for many days. And the snake had lost all hope to escape from that box. Bhagna Ashasya. But Kritva Kur Vivaram Swayam Nipatito Naktam Muke Boginaha. So there was a rat which was actually looking for the food. It was roaming all around and looking for the food. And the rat is thinking that maybe inside this wooden box there is some food available. And the rat is spending whole night trying to put a hole within that box. And whole night it put effort and to actually it made a hole and then comes within that box thinking that some food is available in that box. And then the snake actually eats that rat which came on its own. And then the snake escapes through that same hole made by that rat and it comes out of that hole. So, So, in this example, the actual effort is put by the rat throughout the night. And the snake did not put any effort at all. But ultimately the rat was eaten by the snake and the snake actually ate the rat nicely and then snake actually came out of that hole, came out of that box. So therefore, loka pashyata daiva mevahi nrinam vriddho kshaye karanam. So therefore, one's destiny is the cause of one's downfall or one's prosperity. So like that, there are verses which actually talk about the importance of destiny. Or other verse says that, Neta yasya brihaspati. Indra is having the leader in the form of brihaspati. Praharanam vajram. He has a weapon in the form of the vajrayuda. Sura sainika. He has the demigods as his own soldiers. Swargo Durga Manugraha, his residence is Swarga, which is very difficult to actually penetrate, which is very difficult to conquer. Harer Airavato Varanaha, he is having the Airavata as the carrier. But it Yaishwarya Balan Vitopi Balabit Bhagna Parai Sangarai. Despite having all these things, Indra gets defeated in the battle by the asuras. Tad vyaktam khalu daivameva sharanam dik dik vrita paurusham. So therefore, destiny is the highest thing. To hell with your purushartha, to hell with your endeavor. What is the use of your endeavor? So like that, there are verses in Niti which actually glorify the destiny. But at the same time, there are other verses which glorify the one's purushartha, which one's even the great gods like Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, even they have to put great effort for creation, maintenance and destruction. Like that, there are many other verses. So therefore, purushartha is the highest thing. There are other verses which talk about the importance of purushartha. So, it is not about purushartha or the daiva. It is about putting the purushartha in the right direction. Sometimes, when a person is putting the purushartha in the wrong direction against one's daiva, then the saintly people, they emphasize upon the importance of the daiva. And when a person is not willing to put one's purusharatha in the right direction, at that time the saintly people, they emphasize about the importance of purusharatha. So therefore, in the case of Dhritarashtra, he was trying to put his purusharatha in the wrong direction and trying to somehow get the throne of being throne of the king. But now in this chapter, Vidura is finally telling that you put your purusharatha for your spiritual emancipation. Because most people, they don't want to put their purusharatha, especially for spiritual progress. So people think sometimes when we invite people for satsang, they say that जब हुकुम आएगा उस समय हम सत्संग में आएंगे. So I mean, they don't want to put purusharth on their own for making spiritual progress. So purusharth, yeah, we have to put endeavor for our material progress, but we have to be careful that we don't over endeavor. But for spiritual progress, definitely scriptures time and again instruct that how even when a person is putting more endeavor on the spiritual progress, there is never a mistake on that. And if we see in the life of Dhritarashtra, there is an instance after the battle of Kurukshetra, when all his 100 sons were killed, 3 personalities came to meet Dhritarashtra. So first, Sanjaya came to meet Dhritarashtra. So at that time, Sanjaya told Dhritarashtra that your irresponsibility is the cause of the suffering you are going through in your life. So Sanjaya spoke very bluntly. He said that, like, you are trying to build a bridge after the water has flown away. Yeah, you are trying to open a well after the entire palace is burned to ashes. How many people told you that you should not behave like that? So whatever you are going through, you have only sown the seed. And he was very blunt and harsh. And so it was like too heavy for Dhritarashtra to take. And then Sanjaya went away. Then the next personality who came to meet Dhritarashtra was Vidura. And Vidura could realize that Dhritarashtra's suffering is very intense. And then he felt that, like, what is the point in speaking about Dhritarashtra's personal cause in his suffering? So instead of speaking about his personal cause in his suffering, Vidura spoke to speak in a general way. He generalized his suffering. He said that he spoke about the principle of dvandva in this world. In this world, there is always happiness and distress. And that is how the world is designed. If you focus and contemplate about the dvandva of this material world, you will see that even in hopelessness, you can find a ray of hope. And even when there is a prosperity, you will find that some pinch of salt is always existing. Some misery will be there. And then, so in this way, Vidura spoke in a very general way. He said that just like as much as you are suffering as a loser of the war, the Pandavas are also suffering as a winner of the war. So therefore, in reality, there are no victorious people. But sometimes there is no other choice other than the war. Therefore, understand these realities of life. Like that, Vidura spoke in a general way. And then Vidura told that famous story of illusion. He told that how a person was being chased by a tiger, and then he fell in a well, and then when he was holding, he saw that below there was like so many snakes were there in the well, and then he was holding to a creeper. And then the edge of that creeper was being eaten by the rats. And then some drops of honey were actually dripping from the top of the tree. So, but this person, when he is getting the drops of the honey, he is thinking that, oh, life is so comfortable. So Dhritarashtra told the story and then told Dhritarashtra, oh, don't be in an illusion like that person. Like that, Vidura told Dhritarashtra. But when he heard this story, it was too much for Dhritarashtra to take. Like, he was completely, he couldn't, he felt that, oh, this is too strong for me. So he could not take that story. And then Vidura went away. Then the third personality who came was Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva could understand that Dhritarashtra is in great pain because after hearing that story told by Vidura, Dhritarashtra was thinking that, oh, I am in such an illusion. Huh? So Vyasadeva told that Vyasadeva could understand that Dhritarashtra is in great pain. So therefore, Vyasadeva chose to emphasize on the principle of Daiva. He said that, understand that whatever has happened in your life is because of destiny. He didn't actually emphasize about Dhritarashtra's personal responsibility. You are the cause of your suffering. He did not speak in a general way. He chose to spoke about the principle of destiny. And then he said that once some devatas approached Lord the Yamaraj. At that time Yamaraj was performing tapasya. And the devatas told Yamaraj, there is a fault in the creation because nobody is dying at this point in time. And because you are not, it seems that you are not performing your duty, you are doing tapasya, nobody is dying now. There is a fault in the creation. Then Yamaraj said that, then the devatas were telling Yamaraj, do something about it. The people have to die at the appropriate time. So then Yamaraj said, don't worry, I will send the personification of Kali to the world and the number of people dying will become proper. The numbers will be properly neutralized. And again the Kali comes and then he will take care of destruction. After saying like that, Yamaraj sent the Kali personified to take birth as Duryodhan. So Vyasadeva told the story to Dhritarashtra that actually your son Duryodhan is none other than Kali personified. So it is actually the destiny that because the Kali personified took birth as your son, it is natural that because of the Kali personified, so many people died in the battle and all your 100 sons have died. Your dynasty has been destroyed. So that is it is the work of the destiny. So like that Vyasadeva told. So Dhritarashtra, he heard from these three personalities. From Sanjaya, he heard the point that how he himself is responsible for the suffering. From Vidura, he heard the principle of Dvandva, the dualities of this world. From Vyasadeva, he heard the principle of Daiva. But out of the three, Dhritarashtra chose to focus on the principle of Daiva spoken by Vyasadeva. Because the principle of Daiva did not actually directly deal with his false ego. So Dhritarashtra's character is that he always sought sympathy. Because Vyasadeva's words were very sympathetic towards him. So he was always looking that, oh, don't tell me that I am responsible for what I am going through. Don't tell me to actually do some action. Rather, give your shoulder so that I can put my hand in your shoulder and then I can cry along with you. So he was looking for that actually sympathy. But sometimes people do need strong words actually. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells a story that once a small boy was absorbed in playing the kite and in the terrace of the building, and he came to the edge of that building and he was completely absorbed in playing that kite. He was oblivious to the fact that he is going to actually fall down from the terrace of the building. So then uncle of that boy came and he saw from a distance, and then immediately he came there and then he pulled him with a great force and then dragged him, and then pulled him this side. And that boy was actually taken aback, like, why are you behaving in such a harsh way? So sometimes materialistic people, when they are too absorbed in their materialism, oblivious to the fact that they are going to die at any time. So at that time, sometimes saintly people speak very harsh words, very strong words, because they are able to see that, oh, this person is going to lose his human life and going to a lower species of life. In order to save that person, sometimes they speak very strong words. And sometimes those materialistic people, they don't take those words, they are not able to appreciate those strong words. But actually it is good for them. And Vidura, he spoke these strong words, but sometimes it is easy to imitate the strong words spoken by the great people. But we also should see other aspects of Vidura. Vidura also tolerated the strong words spoken by Duryodhan. And when Duryodhan spoke strong words and drove the Vidura out of the palace, so Vidura also tolerated those strong words. And Vidura also heard from Maitreya Rishi patiently for a long time. So sometimes it is easy to speak strong words, but then it is difficult to hear the strong words, and it is difficult to hear transcendental sound vibration patiently for a long time. But Vidura also heard the Bhagavad Katha spoken by Maitreya Rishi for a long time. And Vidura had a relationship with Dhritarashtra, and therefore he could also speak those strong words. He had invested in the relationship. One place in the Bhagavatam, when Kashyapa was interacting with Diti, when Diti wanted to have children, but at the wrong time, Kashyapa Rishi was speaking very, very gently towards Diti, explaining to her that how this is not the right time to have children. But Diti could not get convinced. And Diti actually pressurized Kashyapa to have union at the wrong time. And then Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were born. So Prabhupada says in their purport that instead Kashyapa could have spoken very angrily towards Diti. If Kashyapa had spoken very angrily towards Diti, then Diti would have kept quiet, and then she would not have pressurized Kashyapa to have union at the wrong time, and which had resulted in the birth of the two great demons. So we see that in the scriptures, sometimes when somebody is not willing to take up responsibility, when a person is trying to escape one's responsibility, then the saintly people, they emphasize about the importance of being responsible. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was not willing to take up the responsibility, and Krishna spoke the Gita how he should perform the responsibility while remembering him, Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha. And here Dhritarashtra was not showing the detachment, even though he was at the fag end of his life. And but so Vidura inspired him with this the spirit of detachment. So I'll just conclude this example. Just like, for example, in a cricket match, say suppose in a T20 cricket match, so suppose somebody is going to play after 4 wickets, so most probably he will get to bat maybe for 6 hours or 6 overs or 7 overs for most of the times. So he will get to face maybe 20 balls, 15 balls like that. So in that time, he is supposed to, suppose if a person is supposed to coach such a batsman who comes to play after 4 wickets or 5 wickets. So the coach will coach him how to hit 4s and 6s, or how to score run in every ball, and that will be the that will be the training he will be giving to such a batsman. And suppose somebody is a opening batsman in a test match, but if the coach is adopting the same method of training to the opening batsman in a test match how to hit fours and sixes in every ball, then his method of training will be completely wrong, because the opening batsman in a test match is supposed to play a very long innings. Even if his strike rate is very low, he's expected to play a long innings actually. So similarly, when we are actually, although the principle of detachment is the underlying purpose of the Varnashram system, when a person is actually in the beginning of his life where he is supposed to perform his responsibilities, so when a person is trying to escape the responsibilities, then the saintly people, they try to instruct him, you should perform the responsibilities while remembering the Lord. Do not try to escape the responsibilities. And on the other hand, when somebody is at the fag end of one's life, where one is not supposed to think more about all the time about one's own security, rather one is supposed to think more about Krishna, about increasing one's sadhana and reducing one's responsibilities of this world. So at that time, the saintly people, they actually give a very strong dose of renunciation. Suppose if a coach were to give if the coach is giving a coaching for the opening batsman in a test match, suppose if he gives a coach, same kind of coaching to a T20 batsman who comes to play after 4 wickets or 5 wickets, it means he will get to score, maybe after facing 15 balls, he will score 5 runs and then not out. That will not be appreciated in a cricket match. So similarly, we see that sadhus actually, by seeing the nature of the person in which situation they are in, and they instruct the principles of the Bhagavata Dharma and Varnashram Dharma accordingly, seeing the mindset of the person. So Dhritarashtra, at the fag end of his life, by the instructions of Vidura, he ultimately took to the path of renunciation. But on the other hand, there are personalities like Prithu Maharaj. And when he saw that old age is going to come, then on his own, he desired to retire. And then he desired to retire from his kingdom, and then he desired to concentrate fully on the spiritual life. So that is why Vidura said that Yaha Swakat Parato Veha Jata Nirveda Atmavan Hridikritva Harim Gehad Pravrajet Sanarottamaha. A person who desires to retire on one's own or by the instructions of others before the old age comes, such a person is considered to be like the Narottama, the topmost of the human beings. So I'll stop here. So we discussed about the importance of transcendental knowledge for actually sustainably practicing the path of renunciation. We also discussed the 3 types of temporary renunciation. And then we discussed Dhritarashtra's mindset, how he tried to always put his purusharatha in the wrong direction, and how his sense of how he was always attached to me and mine. And Dhritarashtra was also looking for sympathy. And how sometimes strong words are required to be spoken by the sadhus in order to awaken the conditioned soul who is deeply immersed in material life. And then finally we discussed that how the saintly people instruct the living entities according to the situation they are in, using that cricket example. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram, Hare Krishna 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 Krishna.